Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Sahavirayam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu, Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Let's see, one second part of the harder ones.
Carol, thank you for your handout. I got everything just fine.
Okay, good. You'll get to
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
good. Mm-hmm.
Is that it? 56?
Lesson 9.
Yeah, page 56. Lesson 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just start reading through. In applying the terminations to the remaining roots of this conjugation, several phonetic changes take place, which we will now notice. 1. The ending ha of a root is changed to dha when it is followed by any consonant except the nasal or a semi-vowel or by nothing. Thus, li, which followed by t, the third person singular termination of the present, becomes le plus t by 6, page 14. It's strong, right? That's all it's telling you. It's strong. And is changed to le t because the t, the it of the tekara of t, is not a nasal or a semi-vowel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what causes that, just going up to number 1. Above, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions on that one?
Mm-hmm.
We're just going straight through. 2. The initial tekara or tekara of a termination followed by a soft aspirate or the fourth letter of a class are changed to the dental tekara. Oh, number 1. Do you see the Roman numeral 1? And in case you don't have the sutra, do you have the sutra? 8231. For Roman numeral 1, the sutra is 8231. For Roman numeral 2, the initial tekara of tekara is 8240. Okay, top the next page. The dha of led is a soft aspirate, therefore t is changed to d, and thus we have a led t. That's by number Roman numeral 2 on the previous page. So led d. When linguals and dentals are combined, the dentals substitute the corresponding linguals. We thus have led d. This should be, this is a, just a general Sunday rule, right? When dentals and linguals come together, the dental will take the lingual. It doesn't matter the order either. A lot of the Sunday rules, it's the first followed by the second. But here, in any order,
mm-hmm.
it's going to take the lingual. So now we have led d. Laid plus D. Then, number 3, Roman numeral 3, the dakara followed by dakara is dropped and the preceding vowel, except ra, if short, is made long. That's by Sutra 8313.
This is da followed by da?
Mm-hmm.
The same.
Yeah, when da is followed by da, da followed by da is dropped and the preceding vowel. If short is made long. Okay. Thus we have ledi. When the third person plural, when the third person dual termination test is applied, we have lid plus tests, right? Because it's not going to take guna because it's weak.
Mm-hmm.
So ti, taha, and ti. So we have lid plus tests becomes lid plus dus by number 2 on the preceding page.
Mm-hmm.
Lid plus dus. And then lid plus dus by 3 on this page, right? So then we have lid, the short e being rendered long.
The short e is rendered long?
By 3 above, okay? There's no guna here, the termination test being weak. The third person plural is lihanti, the termination anti beginning with a vowel, no phonetic change takes place, right? In the second person singular, we have C. Being strong, we have led plus C by 1, right? And here, being C can be changed to she by the note on 21. Oh, wait a minute. I have to remember something here. Memory is a problem. Okay, wait a minute. In the second person singular, we have si, and being strong, we have led plus si by one. One, the ending of a root is changed to da when it is followed by any consonant except a nasal or semivowel. So we have a led plus si. Then here, si can be changed to she. Ah, this is what we need. We need the next rule, number four. That's why number four is da or sha. The dakara or shakara followed by is changed to ka. That's what you need there. Okay, so when you have led plus si, by this number four below, it becomes lake plus si. And then by normal sandhi, the si will change to she, because the sakara preceded by any vowel except r, a, or by a ka or rafa, I believe, changes to sha. Okay, so that's why, that's just normal sandhi there. So by this we get lake plus si. The si becomes she by the note, page 97 in the first book. Do we need to read that note? Is everybody familiar with the rules involving si becoming she or sakara becoming shakara? Very common transition. Thus we arrive at lake she. Any problem with that?
That's a lot of transformation.
Yeah, it is. Do you know that this...
That's a chain reaction.
It's a chain reaction, exactly.
It seems that the disease lays it out, because when we did it, we were not for the first time. I think it was more confusing. Because even in Antoine, we have it all...
Laid out?
Yeah.
Except, I like studying Antoine also, but once you understand this, if this is in sutra language and it's all here, once you're familiar with the rules, this is really, really good. So I'd like you to become familiar with it, just because once you go to Panini Sutras, this is so helpful. Okay, so let's look at their example. Here the paradigms of the present tense parasmaipada are lehmi, lihuha, limaha. There's no problem there, because semi-vowel, right? The semi-vowel nasal. Then, lake she. Okay, there's a problem there. There's a, you know, would Penny say it's like a domino effect? Mm-hmm. So, what is it? You know, li becomes lay because it's strong. The ha becomes da. Right, because it ends in the root, ends in a ha, it'll become da. Then because of si, the da goes to sha. Because the da goes to sha, and then having gone to sha, it goes to ka.
That's like followed by so, it goes to ka. The da followed by so.
No, I'm just on the other side first. Initial ta, ta the termination goes to da. Da followed by da drops or permanent. Da or sha followed by sa is changed to ka. You do need that one. I'm looking for another rule here.
Doesn't the lake just change to lake? Just the da goes to ka?
Oh yeah. Okay, that's all it is. That's all it is. Laid goes to lake by this four.
Right.
And then she goes to she by the regular sandhi. So lake she. Li da ha, that's by three above. Li da, three above, right? Lay di. Same. Li da ha and li hanti. There's no problem. Li hanti, it begins with a vowel anti. You have to remember that the vowel goes, by number three, the vowel goes long. Right, if the, okay. Lidaha, second person dual, and lida, second person plural, should be made up like lidaha, dual. Those are all the same. Before mi, vaha, and maha, no phonetic change takes place. Mi and maha beginning with a nasal, and vakar, the vaha, with a semi-vowel. Okay? Very clear? The Atmanapada forms are as follows. So, Eva Hemahe, so nothing there. lihe, lisvehe, lihume, lihmehe, then likshe, so with se, it's going through that same process.
Right, it's not le because it's weak.
Okay, they're all weak. Mm-hmm. Right. So likshe is the same as likshe, except that it's weak. So si se, likshe, lihate, that's ate and dwe. Did you make this note? There's a typo there for the second person plural. It should be lead way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? We looked it up in the book and everything. Penny, do you have that for the...
Yeah, it should be long. Right?
It should be long, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then lead day, lihate, lihate. Any problems there? Te, ate, ate.
Mm-hmm.
These should be made up in the same way as those shown above. So good. Let's go to the next page.
This, can I ask a question? Is this rule number 4, is that also a general Sunday rule, or is that only for the second conjugation?
No, it is general. I wanted to remind you all something. If you go to your Antoine book 1, does anybody have that here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What page is that on where we looked at all of the participles? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then they had in that section, let's see if I can find it here.
Participle
at the end, at the back, you know, the participles. No, there's a section. Oh, here, look at page 86 and 87 in Antoine book 1. No, on page 87, number 5. Like, look at va becomes uda. That's following these rules.
Number 5. Are we at Anton 1 or Anton?
Anton 1, book 1. You see on page 87, number 5?
Oh, there we are.
Okay, see all of those examples? Do you see Prach becoming Prishta? That's one that we're going to be... Yaj becomes Ishta. These are all the same set of rules. Vach becomes Ukta, but the one I'm really interested in is Va becomes Uda. You see the long U in the Da? That's an H ending. We're going to see, this is where it also takes some prasaran, and we're going to have an example of that. Go to number 6 also. Do you see that... Da becomes Dugda. We're going to be doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
Dug becomes Dugda.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see Mu becomes Mugda or Muda?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Ha again. Do you see the long U?
Oh.
Yeah. So do you see Uda? Va takes Samprasarana, becomes U. The U goes long. And then the Ha changes to Da. And then the Ta ending changes to Da.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the dental lingual. This is exactly what we've just done.
This is because the term, which is a consonant, mm-hmm. because it's a consonant and consonant this following the
ha,
it'll become ha. Okay.
And then we're going to have one, you see you've got there va, mu, and in number 6 mm-hmm. you've got mu, and you've got da. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Da is going to be dealt with differently. We'll do that in a minute. We'll do that in a minute, da. That ends in an, and one that ends in an H, a ha, that begins with da, is dealt with differently than all of the others that end
mm-hmm.
with ha. But what I'm trying to point out to you is the same sundis are applying here. The same sundis that we're learning here in the second gana. Because again, these are roots that have the takara, the letter ta, which is the past passive participle added directly onto the root, right? If it's not an it, you know, if it's not sate.
Mm-hmm. So all the 1, 2, 3, 4 here that we've just gone through are general.
Yeah, they're general. That's right.
Okay.
They have bigger application. That's why it's so important to keep going over it and recognizing it.
And the reason that they mention it within the second conjugation is because that's the best way to apply it.
Mm-hmm. And also in the first book, they just gave the things for memorization. They didn't burden you with all of the Sunday rules that are involved.
Actually, can I take one quick question also? Just in the front.
By the way, these are internal Sunday. You know, there's a difference between external and internal. Sometimes the internal and external are the same, but not all the time. So these are all internal Sundays. So what we're saying, Kiki?
It doesn't matter, I'll ask you later.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, let's tell them. Is that clear, Virginia?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. I wanted to show that. That's a good opportunity. Okay, so where are we? Number one on 58. The second person singular termination of the perisamipeda imperative of the second group of conjugations is D. When the base ends in any consonant except a nasal or semi-vowel. That's by the sutra 64101. If you don't have that down, 64101. So, aniaba ama, usually blank tanta, so ditanta, right? Ditanta, tu tam, untu. So, aniaba ama, no problem. Here we have to apply this root, this rule of D, when the base ends in a consonant. So, now you're going to have the lingual sundi of D becoming D. Then when D follows D, one drops and the preceding vowel becomes long. Right, one week.
Mm-hmm.
So Li D.
I'm sorry, it was first on Li D before this, that what you just read.
Well, first you have to remember that the termination
is blank, right?
Is
E or blank again?
The second person singular termination of the perisamipeda imperative of the second group of conjugations is D.
Right.
Only when the base ends in any consonant except a nasal or semi-vowel. Do you have that sheet? Where is the normal ending?
He or nothing.
He or nothing,
right.
Yeah. So now in this circumstance it will be D by this number one.
But this root ends in D, only, sorry, the ha.
Remember that now we've got li. Now it's followed by d.
Yes.
Then that has li will become lid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then the lingual dental sundae, d becomes d.
Mm-hmm.
Da and da following each other, one drops, preceding vowel becomes long.
Sorry about that.
No, sir. Li d. And then same thing, li dham, li da. Right, di tanta, and then li du, li dam, li hantu. Li hantu, there's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm going to get my sheet so I don't have to remember. Let's look at the Atmanipada. I, Avahai, Amahai. Strong in the singulars. Lehai, Leha, Avahai, Leha, Amahai. There's nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Likshwa. So there, remember that Li becomes Lid. Da becomes ka before a sa or a dwa, and then once it becomes ka, the sa becomes sha, likshwa, right? Then atam and dwam, lihatam, there's nothing there, lihatam, li dwam, there's the week, and so here, Le becomes lid, dwam becomes dwam, vowel lengthens, lid dwam. Clear? We don't need that one where the da becomes ka. Lid dwam. We're going too fast. Virginia, are you okay?
I'm following, sort of.
Is this a long
da? Long. It's got to become long because the da, the dental da, goes to da. Then one has to drop. Preceding da becomes long.
Oh,
right. Li dwam. Same with tam, atam, atam, li dham. Hi. Li dham, li hatam, li hatam. There's nothing there. Remember that the three members of the first person are strong, and the second person singular pairs might is weak. Okay. Are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
Roots beginning with da and ending with ha change the ha to ga under the same circumstances. And even when we looked in at the past passive participles exception, you saw that they're dealt with differently. Thus do, when the termination t is appended to it, becomes dug plus t, and t being strong, dog plus t. The way that is worded is a little funny, so I just changed it. The t is appended to it, it becomes dug. And then t being strong becomes dog plus t. And then, by the 2 on page 56, dog becomes d. That's the initial ta or ta of a termination followed by a soft aspirate or the fourth letter of a class is changed to da. Right? So we get dog plus d, and then we go into Roman numeral 6. In the body of a word or grammatical form, the preceding consonant except a nasal substitutes the third or soft aspirate of its class when followed by the third or fourth letter. Okay? Soft, unaspirate, or aspirate. That's general. Then for sha, this you have to make note, for sha, da is substituted in these circumstances. There's a sutra, for number 5 above, the sutra is 8232, for 5 above. And for this one, 6, the sutra is 8453.
So, I think I might have asked this the last time we went through this, so maybe this is just some strange rapping I hear, but for Rule 5,
yeah,
that's sort of a subset of Rule 1, right?
An exception
to Rule 1. In other words...
Yeah, because 8, 2, 3, I can't remember the actual sentence.
Because they both end in ha.
Yeah. Do you notice that it's the very next sutra?
Yeah, right.
So, okay. It's a limit. There's an actual term for this when you have a general sutra and then underneath that you have kind of exceptions.
So the exception is that you...
This is the exception. It limits it.
It begins with a da. That's the exception.
That's the exception.
Then you know that you don't do what you would do for one, mm-hmm. which is...
One is more general.
Change it to da. You change now to ga.
That's right.
Okay. Because that's just where I get really confused when we do this.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is an exception.
Yeah. I have to look at
no,
them.
No, thank you.
I have the same shoes. I can't keep it in my head anymore.
Yeah. So we are at the last paragraph on page 58. This we have dog. Oh, dog plus d because of this rule. It's going to go to the third of it. Dog becomes dog. So dog d becomes dog d. The dual is dug dha. Same thing. It should be similarly made up. In the plural, duhunti, there's no phonetic change because du plus unti is nothing. When the second person c is appended, we have by dog plus by 5, dog plus c. In this condition, before applying the rule, in page 5,
we have
number 7, the next one. When a root...
Oh, okay. I thought there was text missing.
No. We have to do this first. Before we make dog into dok, we have to look at this. When a root has or consists of a syllable beginning with ba, ga, or da, and ending with a soft aspirate, fourth letter, ba is changed to ba, ga to ga, and da to da. It takes its aspirate. When the syllable is followed by sa, dwa, or nothing. That's 8237 is the sutra there, 8237. But this also is not only here, you'll see this in other places.
Could we have the sutra for Rule 6? I don't know if we got that one.
Yeah, for 6 is
8453. Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
reason I think there's for 8453, there's probably another sutra involved for the sha, for shad is substituted. I don't think that's part of Jalam Jashtashi. I'd have to check. But the general sutra is 8453. This last part for sha does substituted, that might be an exception.
That might be,
I'll have to look.
Might be
an extra sutra. I have to look and see. You start with 8453. Okay. Then 7 is 8237. I gave that. Okay. So by this we have dog plus c, because this is when it's followed by sa or dwa. Here we're looking at c, the sakar or dwa. By this we have dog plus c. Then by note page 5 we have dok plus c. Here, this is simple. The reason that the ga goes to ka is because, simply because the sakar is a hard consonant. Ga is a guttural. Right? And so, if you have a soft consonant followed by a hard consonant, the soft consonant has to go to the first of its class. So dog, that ga, is a soft guttural. Aspirate, soft aspirate guttural. It's followed by sa. The sakar is a hard consonant. So dog becomes dok, the first of its class, plus c. And then you've got ka plus sa. It has to, the sa has to go to sha because of the ka. So dok shi. That's also regular sendi. Dok shi. So there you get dok shi. Dok plus shi is dok shi. Is it all right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the paradigm, present tense. So, present tense, the singulars are strong. So, do, me, do, vaha, do, maha, nothing there. Then, dokshi. There we just have to go, remember it's strong. Remember, do goes to da by, to the aspirate by 7 above. And then,
the aspirate goes to the...
Then, yeah, the ha goes to ga.
You have to go to the first of the class.
Yeah. That's right. First you have to make the ha become ga.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to the first of its class because of the hard consonant c, so dokshi. This, the main thing here is recognizing this aspiration of the initial consonant.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's followed by either sa or the sakar or dwa, these two instances. So dugdha is just going back to normal, right? Du goes to dug, which makes ta go to dha, which makes the dug go to dug. And dugdha is the same process. Dugdi, same process. Dugdha, same process. Duhanti, there's no sendi. Atmanepada, dugde, duhate, duhate, there's nothing there. Dukshe, that's because of the se. Then duhate, then dugdwe, because of the dwe. Right? The sa or dwa is going to cause the aspiration of the dakara. Parasmai for the imperative. Dog do, dug the, to tom unto, dog do, dug tom, do unto. Nothing new there. Atmanepada, tom atom atom. So dug tom, do ha tom, no problem, because atom begins with a vowel, do ha tom, do ha tom. Second person, which is swa atam dwam, there you get the aspiration again. Dukshwa, duhatam, dukdwam. Okay? Go back to page 58. We're just going to read through these 5, 6, and 7. 5. Roots beginning with da and ending with ha. change the ha to ga under the same circumstances as those in rule one, which means when followed by any consonant except a nasal or a semi-vowel or nothing. Okay. So instead of going to lingual da, which is in all the other situations that end in ha, it goes to lingual da. In this case, because it begins with a dental da, it goes to ga. So that's an exception. Then number six, in the body of a word or grammatical form, the preceding consonant, except the nasal, substitutes the third or soft unaspirate of its class when followed by the third or fourth letter. Right? Third or fourth letter is a soft consonant, soft unaspirate or aspirate. That's going to make ga go to ga. This is a general Sandhi rule. It's called Chalam Jesh Jashi. That's the 8451. So then, number seven, when a root has or consists of a syllable beginning with ba, ga, or da and ending with a soft aspirate, fourth letter, the ba is changed to ba, ga, to ga, da, to da, when the syllable is followed by sa, dwa, or nothing. Those are unique to the da.
This is unique to
us. Yeah. Well, in terms of this set, because what they're pointing out to, they haven't given us a root that begins with a ba or ga. Not unique to da, is that not, that's not the only one it applies to. It's just this is unique to da as opposed to words that don't end, that don't start with a da.
Or contain.
Yeah. The thing that they're not listing here, so you have to remember, is the initial ta or ta of a termination following a soft aspirate or the fourth letter of a class is changed to da. That's on page, 56. You have to remember that one too. Okay? Let's go to hun.
Actually, if I may ask, this is my question. Where did the two suddenly come from?
To where?
Not the Roman two, but... we have all these...
Imperative, two.
Sorry?
You mean the imperative?
No, I mean the numeral two.
Oh, numeral two. 2A?
Yeah, because we've been having this happened in the prior chapter, too. We have all these Roman numerals.
Oh.
Following these along, and I'm wondering if there's an order to these that I'm missing.
Oh.
All of us like to introduce this number, numeral two, instead of,
Yeah.
And we had this all over the prior chapter that was kind of confusing me.
I know. I'm sorry, I don't know either.
It's not really anything
else. I was trying to figure out the same thing. I don't have any idea.
Okay.
Well, he has a one.
He has a one, but what does that one have to do with the two?
Yeah.
But I thought maybe there was some indentation that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we're coming up with a three.
He's just doing those numbers in order because normally you would see those, they would renew themselves when you have a new Roman numeral.
Right, so I actually thought there's a Roman numeral is indented to the numerals here, but I'm not sure. If there's a general rule, a smaller rule, that kind of thing.
I know. I noticed it too, Kiki, and then I just thought,
I should just ignore it probably, okay.
I don't know. There's probably a reason. Like one of the things I thought maybe it is that they're changing verbs, but that didn't, verb classes, but that didn't work for number one.
And that's right. Number five, they introduced the...
Even three. See, three, four, five, there's kind of a change in the roots, but six, seven is that way. Eight, nine.
I think that it's just, this is all, maybe the one through... seven that we've done so far are all to do with, because zu is just sort of a subcategory of li, the her ending, so maybe those are all her ending and now it's not ending for number two. I don't know.
Well, the number one is general, isn't it? Like, it goes, the second person singular termination of the paris mipeta imperative of the second group of conjugations is d.
Yeah.
When the base ends in any consonant except a nasal or a semi-vowel. So that's kind of a more general rule. Then when we go to two, now we're working with hun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never mind.
in anyway, but from then on, it's we're working with. Well, it's very confusing. I don't really know.
Okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay. We probably all had the same thing. We all dealt with it differently. Mine was to move on. It was taking too much time. Okay, let's do 2A. The end of Hun is, this of course, Hun is really important root to kill, right? It comes all the time in Mahabharata, Ramayana, and even in Vedanta. It comes in Vedanta quite a bit because that is the extreme act. So they'll use Hun, if, you know, like you're neither the killer or the killed, you know, that type of thing. So the Nakara of Hun is dropped before a weak termination beginning with any consonant except a nasal or a semi-vowel, and the penultimate before one beginning with a vowel. Jahi is the second person singular of the imperative. That has to just...
Hi.
What is it, baby?
Yeah. More to play. That's, yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, this is your place. Yeah. Can you sit here with us?
She's a good girl. She's a good girl.
So pretty.
Jahi is the second person singular of the imperative. Right? You have to memorize that. The hub, this root, is changed to ga when immediately followed by na. That's when the a collapses out of hun. It becomes nun. Right? Come and sit with us. It's okay. Everybody remember this collapse? Mm-hmm. Then in the body of a word or grammatical form, the inner M is changed to the nasal of the class to which the following letter, not nasal itself, belongs, and to an anuswara when followed by hasa, sha, or sha. By siblet, okay? That's important to remember. Let's go to the next. Let's look at this. Hanmi, Hanvaha, Hanmaha. Nasal or semi-vowel.
Mm-hmm.
The Hun stays as Hun. Then Hamsi, there's a sibilant, changes to Anuswara. Hamsi.
Mm-hmm.
Hataha, Hata, Hanti, Hataha, Knanti. That dropping of the Nakara is from 2A. On the preceding page, the N of Hun is dropped before a weak termination. Okay? So that's why you get Hataha, Hata. Then Hun strong is Hunti. Then Hataha. Now Knanti. When the weak termination begins with a vowel, then there's a collapse. The U drops. If the U drops and you have Hun, the Hakara followed by the Nakara, the Hakara changes to Ga. Look again on number 2A. The N of Hun is dropped before a weak termination beginning with any consonant except a nasal or a semi-vowel, and the penultimate before one beginning with a vowel. That's dropped, okay? In weak terminations. Then C, the H of this root is changed to G when it's immediately followed by N, right? Because the U has dropped in a weak termination beginning with a vowel. So then, which you can't even say, you know. So you have to say Knun. That's hard enough. So you get with the Knun T. Okay. Here, the Nakara is dropped in the second and third person dual and the third person plural because the terminations are weak and have an initial consonant, which is neither a nasal nor a semi-vowel, and is changed to Anuswara by 8 before C. That should be a period. Then, Anti being a weak termination with an initial vowel, penultimate is dropped, and we have Hun plus Anti becomes Knanti. Clear?
Mm-hmm.
When in certain cases this root takes Atmanapada terminations, the forms of the present tense are, they're all weak, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So Evahemahe is going to be Kne. Because weak begins with a vowel, drops,
mm-hmm.
Hajos goes to G. Kne, then Hanvahe, Hanmahe, nothing. Hase, weak, So the nakara drops. Hase. Kanate begins with a vowel. Hadwe, weak, so nakara drops. Hate, weak, nakara drops. Knate begins with a vowel. Nate begins with a vowel. As above, the nakara is dropped here before the consonants, which are neither nasals or semi-vowels, and a before vowels. In the latter case, h becomes g. You have to make a note here that this applies generally to the opinate for the terminations present tense because they're all weak. If they weren't weak, the nakara wouldn't drop in the strong. Imperative, parasmaipada, third person, tu tam untu, strong in the singular, so huntu, weak, hatam. Right? So hun plus tam, hatam drops, kanuntu because weak. Then jahi is memorized, then hanava, that's all strong in the parasmaipada, anyava ama. Then in the third person, atmanepada, tam, atam, atam. So that would be hatam, nakara drops before the tam, atam, have to collapse, to gna, so gnatam, then gnatam. Clear? Anything confusing there? In the Atmanapad? Okay. Let's go to number three. The roots ish and id have the augment e attached to them before terminations beginning with sakara and twa, except that of the imperfect second person plural. Oh, which takes, it's going to take another ending, I think. Let's go to 9. You'll be working with this. Roman numeral 9. Roots ending in sh for ch, and the roots vrasht, sridj, mridj, yaj, raj, and vraj change their final sh, shakara, when followed by any consonant, change their final to shakara, when followed by any consonant except a nasal or a semi-vowel or by nothing. That is by 8236.
So this is also, again, a general internal sounding rule?
No, this is this is very particular to roots ending in sha or cha and this particular list. Like if we were to look up this sutra, it would have this list of roots.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. This is a sutra. It's the translation of the sutra.
But it's for all roots that end in sha.
Yeah, roots, unless there's an exceptional root, right?
Right.
Isn't it similar to what happens with the consonant ending nouns that end in ja? They convert to sha part of the time?
Yeah, part of the time. That's true. They'll convert either to
ka, don't they go ka?
To sha or to ka. There's a group that will go to sha, there's another group that goes to ka. You have to learn that, yeah. So maybe these are the major ones that go to sha.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at their example. We're working on ish and id right now, so let's look at ish. What was the major rule for ish? The roots ish and id have their augment e attached to them before terminations beginning with the sa and dwa, except that of the imperfect second person plural.
Normally the exception is for the imperative second person singular, isn't it? This one says imperfect second plural.
Imperfect. What does it say except the imperfect second person? We have to take a look at the imperfect. Well, just keep that as a note because we're not doing the imperfect yet. We're only doing the present tense. So eva he mahe se ate dwe te ate ate. Okay. So Ishe, Ishwahe, Ishmahe, there's nothing there. Ishishe is by this rule number three above. Okay. Then Ishate, Ishate, there's nothing. Ishitwe, rule number three above. Okay. Then Ishke. Here it's by number nine. Change the roots ending in sh, etc. Change their final to sh when followed by any consonant except a nasal or semi-vowel or by nothing. So here the endings are te, ate, ate. So ishte. If it changes to sh, sh is a lingual. Dental ta has to go to the lingual. Lingual and dental come together. They have to. Dental is the one that succumbs. So ishte, then ishate, ishate, nothing there. Because it begins with the vowel ate, ate. Okay. Before te, the sh of this is changed to sh. The dental ta becomes ka, te becomes te. Hence we have ishte.
Okay.
To say and dwe, the augment e being prefixed, we have ishi she and ishi dwe. That augment prefixes them by number three on the preceding page.
And when they say before they, the show of this, by this they are referring to the third person singular?
Yeah, third person singular. Where it says that very first part before te, the sha is thus changed to sha.
Right.
That's
right.
By three. I mean by four. I mean by nine.
It's here with me more letters.
I do that sometime when I'm talking about my brothers and sisters. I have to go through the whole list. And then finally I get it right. Something wrong with my brain. Okay. Oh well. Okay, imperative third person. Tom, atom, atom. There's nothing there, right? Ishtam, that sh, same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Then atom, no problem. Atom, no problem. Beginning with a vowel.
Mm-hmm.
And then aya, bahai, amahai. Isha, isha, bahai, isha, amahai. That's nothing. The penultimate, oh, here, we're going to go to four. Is that okay? The penultimate r of mridge takes its vriddhi substitute before strong terminations and optionally before the weak ones beginning with a vowel.
So this is as opposed to the general rule of taking a guna substitute before strong.
That's right. It takes vriddhi instead of guna. Instead of marjmi, it's marjmi. So first person is straightforward. Mridge becomes marj. Marjmika strong, then mrjvaha, mrjmaha, then marj. Oh, here we go. Let's see if we can do this. Marj plus C.
Uh-huh.
The ja goes to sha, right, by this number 9.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But sha goes to ka by...
the thing back there.
Back there. Yeah. Da or sha, followed by sa, is changed to ka.
Mm-hmm.
That's on 57, number 4. So yeah, exactly. By the thing back there. There it is. So mark she, right? Then sa has to go to sha.
Mm-hmm.
The si goes to she. Then mrishtaha and mrishta. There, that's just the, if... the mrish goes to mrish by number 9 on the preceding page, then you just have the lingual sandhi,
mm-hmm.
lingual dental sandhi, mrishtaha,
right.
Mrishta, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Then marshti, that's the vriddhi,
mm-hmm.
and the lingual dental sandhi.
Mm-hmm.
Mrish goes to marsh, becomes marsh
mm-hmm.
by 9,
mm-hmm.
and the dental lingual sandhi. Then mrishtaha, same thing. Then here, magenti or margenti
uh-huh.
by number 4 above,
mm-hmm.
and optionally before weak ones that begin with an initial vowel.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to either say mridge plus enti or optionally take the vriddhi, marge. Do you see number 4 above?
Right.
Okay. So the final ja of this being changed to sha before t, tes, etc., ones that begin with a consonant except a nasal or semi-vowel. by 10, page 60, we have Marshti Mrishtaha. In the first case, and in the singular of the other persons, the R is changed to R by the above rule, and optionally so in the third person plural. Before C, Ja is changed to Sh by 9 on the preceding major rule, and then Sh to Ka by a few pages back. Right? Mm. And then the C itself becomes She by just normal Sandhi. Thus we get March. Markshi. Look familiar? Mm-hmm. Imperative third person. Imperative third person. So the singular is strong. So marshtu, so two tamantu, marshtu, mrishtam, because ja goes to sha by 9, mrishtam, mrijantu, begins with a vowel, so no problem, or marjantu by number 4 above, it's optional, mrijantu or marjantu, because it begins, it's weak, it begins with a vowel, it can optionally take vritti. Second person singular, mridhi. That's where mrish is going to become mrish. And then it becomes that mrid by number 6 on page 58. In the body of a word or grammatical form, the preceding consonant except a nasal substitutes the third or soft an aspirate of its class, but sh is replaced by da. And so here, we're working with D by 2 on page 58, by number 1 on page 58. The second person termination of the parasmaipada imperative of the second group of conjugations is D when the base ends in any consonant except in nasal or semi-vowel. Here it ends in mridj, which is a consonant. So the affix for the second imperative second person singular is going to be D instead of he. If it's D, it's a consonant. I lost my place. So we get it goes like this. We get mridj becomes mrish. Ends in a consonant, and so D becomes D, then Sh becomes D by number 6 on page 58 that I just read. So we get D. In the last, the termination D by 1 page 58, the J of Mrij is changed to Mrish by 9 page 60, and sh becomes d by 6 page 58, which we just read through. Right? How are we doing? I need a break soon. God. Let's take a little break right here. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we're back. Where are we? Okay. Number 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
On page 61. This is what I was showing you. This is the Samprasarna. The va or vash is changed to u before weak terminations, and we saw that as an example in the past passive participle in Antoine Book 1. Mm-hmm. It was this root, I think, vash. So vashmi, now here's the samprasarana, so mi vahamaha, vashmi, ushwaha, ushmaha. Remember when a semi-vowel takes samprasarana, the accompanying vowel is also replaced. So here the accompanying vowel is va. Mm-hmm. So the vakara plus the is replaced in samprasarana. Mm-hmm. So va is replaced by u. So ushwaha, ushmaha. Then here Vakshi, remember that this ending in sha, so we're going back to number 9, Roman numeral 9 on page 60, where the sha is replaced by sha. So then if we have vash plus si, by the preceding rule on the previous page, the sha goes to ka, and we get vakshi. Then sa will go to sha, so vakshi. Then ti taha anti, oosh. So we get, with a samprasarana, oosh becomes oosh, and then the taha goes to taha, ushtaha. And then ushta, ushtaha, ushta. Then same thing with vashti, right? Vashtaha, ushanti. Ka, because of the lingual sandhi, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cheryl?
Yeah?
Doesn't this transformation to u also happen when a root starting with va reduplicates? To get it reduplicating
as
uva. I have some vague memory of that.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Reduplicative.
The thing that takes some persona, you can end up with a long ooh or something like that. We'll have to wait till we get to the third gen. I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember either.
Okay.
And not all roots that begin in a yarva take some prasarana, only some roots do.
Only some, they're short, I think they have to have just a simple vowel, up vowel or something, I don't remember, we'll get to it.
Yeah, I don't remember all the rules either. Okay, let's just read through this. Vash plus T becomes Vash plus T by number 9, which becomes Vash plus T by the lingual sandhi. So then Vash T. Vash plus C becomes Vash plus C by the preceding rule on the preceding page. Becomes Vak plus C becomes Vak plus She becomes Vakshi. Any problem there? Those are the ones we've just been through. Then Ushtaha, that's Ush becomes Ush plus Kaha becomes Ushtaha by the lingual sandhi. Ushtaha. Oh, now here we have Vash plus D. Okay. Vash plus D has got to become, it's weak, so it takes some prasarana, becomes, we're in the imperative, right? Imperative second person, singular. So Vash plus D by some prasarana becomes Ush plus D, then must become Ush by 9, becomes Ush plus D. Then Ush plus D, D becomes D, because sha is a lingual, right? So ush plus d becomes ush plus d because sha is lingual. And then the sha becomes da by that root on the preceding page, number 6, which is the regular jalam jashtashiva. Never mind. I know that sutra, but you don't. The regular sutra of the unaspirate, going back to the us, if you have a hard consonant followed by a soft consonant, the hard consonant will change to the soft. If you've got a soft consonant followed by a hard consonant, the soft consonant will change to the third.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this rule is. But sha goes to da. Everybody with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the next page. Wow, when we decided to review this, we were serious. I mean, this is a really big review. Taking us a long time.
I think I could do like 3 more.
Well, it's not wasted. Believe me, I can't tell you all of these rules and everything, but the fact is that I always recognize the form and take it back to the root.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what you need, and
yeah,
that's how it'll all end up. You know,
you can always recognize all of these various mm-hmm. ones, and you know.
Oh yeah, almost 99% of the time. But then to form, and like if you ask me now, what are the rules involved in
yeah.
getting there? unless I'm teaching it over and over again, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And if, even now, say we learned this right now, and you ask me in a couple of weeks, I won't remember it.
Mm-hmm. But like you'll know Merge belongs to the second.
Oh, yeah. I'll know that Marge goes back to Merge, and, you know, Shas is Shadi and all of that. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
You will, too. No, honestly, that's how it is. I mean, some people have better memories, I suppose, but I don't remember all this stuff. So the vowel of Shas, the vowel of Shas is changed to, the vowel of Shas is changed to E before the consonantal weak terminations. Then 7, the terminate, we're going to have to see this by an example in a minute. The termination of the third person plural as appended to the roots Shas, Jux, Jakas, Daridra, and Jagra lose its nakara. Even in, remember we usually keep unti, unto in the Paris Maipa, we don't for these roots. And if you remember, I think 2 lessons back, they were talking about Jux, that we'll see this later, the dropping of the nakara. This is the rule for that. And these roots are common enough roots that you really have to, in Vedanta, you really have to learn them, you know.
There is such a long root.
I know, right, but it comes because it means poverty, to be poor. Mm-hmm. And it comes, you know, you see it. The imperative second person singular of Shas is Shadhi. You have to memorize. And Chakas is Chakadhi and Chakadhi. Memorize. So here, let's look at the present tense for Shas. Shasmi. Shishwaha shishmaha, I have to memorize. The A becomes E in the week before consonant terminations. That's 6 above. You have to get used to it, otherwise you can't get back to Shas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Shasmi, Shishwaha shishmaha, Shasi, here's where the S doesn't drop. Mm-hmm. You know, like an S-E, there's some that where it drops here, it doesn't. Shasi, Shishtaha, Shishta. I'm forgetting something. I'm forgetting, why does the so go to sh? Must tell us. Let's go through, because you probably don't remember either. If you do, you can tell me. Shishtaha, shishta, shasti, shishtaha, shasati. There's the shasati is the dropping of the nasal. What I'm not remembering is, why does shas? I think it becomes sh just because of the changing of the a to the e. Let's look at this underneath. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Why does, you see where it says shishtaha?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember why we got the sh, but we got the sh because of the change to the e. I think. Let's look underneath. You know what I mean, Penny?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Shas plus tus goes to shis. Plus tus goes to shish plus tus. The sub being changed to sh by regular Sunday, page 21, where the, because now the sa is not preceded by a or a, it changes to sh.
Where are they getting the
sh? Well, we get the tuh because of the sh. That's a lingual Sunday.
Oh, okay, that's the right.
Yeah, the only, I'm having, still having a slight bit of problem with,
Are we in the second person dual? Is that what
you're
trying to figure out?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You're just trying to understand why it is that form.
Isn't it just a staccato, before any vowel, except for a, it goes to...
I'm sure that's the only thing that I can think of. I guess what's throwing me off about that is that we're within a word. Shas is a word.
That's only an external
term? Well, no, even internal, when you're adding suffixes and prefixes and that type of thing, but shas is a single word, and somehow, like, I didn't expect that. Like, say, for instance, if you have Rama plus Su becomes Rameshu, but Si Ta Su. But Shu is an affix.
Right.
You know, So here, shas, there's no affix.
No, that's probably the verb.
It's the verb. So I'm just gonna, I still think that's what it is, but maybe I have limited this rule too much. So I'm gonna, I have this first book right here, I'm gonna look it up right now. Page 21. Not much here what it is.
Page 21 is the
next one. No, but at the bottom. Yeah, that's what it goes like this. When the sekar or a consonant of the dental class, no, that's not it. When the sekar or a consonant of the dental class is compounded with sh or a consonant of the palatal, no, that's just, that's the lingual sundi.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Getting really confused. Isn't that ending tongue?
No, we're in the present.
We're in the present.
I know.
But the right before it is just the
imperial.
Yeah, I know, but then they, yeah, that's confusing.
All right. Okay, thanks.
Okay, this isn't answered. I think it is what you think it is. I might try to pursue it a little bit.
Okay.
I think that the reason that we have that change from shas to shish
mm-hmm.
is because of the change from a to e.
Okay.
You know, because there's a rule like a sakara will mm-hmm. change to shakara okay. if it's preceded by any vowel except a or a
yeah.
as a sundi. Mm-hmm. And my doubt is, okay. yeah, but this is within one word. It's
okay.
not that taking place because of an affix or something.
Yeah.
But there's.
But I think that it doesn't only take place because of an affix. I can't point out a particular situation, but.
Probably, and here's the situation. This is the situation, right?
Yeah, here's one of the situations.
So that must be what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what else it would be, and they're not even commenting on it, so.
So the viewer is being, why is it the...
Because the sun and the tub could normally come together and make a compound.
Yeah, that
doesn't make sense why it would be changed, yeah.
No, it doesn't
that
make sense.
Make
yeah, it doesn't sense. Make any sense in terms of the ta. That's not
right.
a problem. It's got to be because of the E.
Yeah.
And all it says here is
so
it's being changed to sh, as though we're supposed to know that.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So let's just, and that's all we know, so that must be what it is. So, anyway, just note the doubt in case something ever comes to make it clear.
The rule is, you know, to just say, if an exception does memorize.
Yeah. We don't know what that is. Memorize it. Okay. Okay. So now, jagra. Jagra. Paris might put a present third person singular. Jagarti. Oh, yeah. Takes guna. Jagra takes guna because strong. Jagarti.
Mm-hmm.
Jagratiha, jagrati. There you have to note that in this group of roots in the third person plural, the nakar is dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Imperative, jagra ends in a vowel, jagrahi. There's nothing unusual about that. He is the affix and it
mm-hmm.
ends in a vowel, so no problem. Then jagarani is strong, takes guna. Jagrat becomes jagar plus ani. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
8. The final a of dharidra is dropped before the weak terminations beginning with a vowel and changed to e before terminations beginning with an initial consonant. So, ti taha ati instead of anti because of this group of roots. So, dharidra plus ti dharidra ti. Now it's weak tihi, so it's going to go taha, it's going to go into e. Dharidri taha. And then Dhidhriti, nothing there, ati, so the vowel drops, ah drops, is replaced by, the ah will drop there, be replaced by the termination ati, because it begins with the vowel, ah drops. It begins with the consonant, it's changed to e in the week. Is it clear? The imperative forms of vid are optionally made up by adding the corresponding forms of kr to vidam. I've actually seen this, not very often, but vid is a very important root. It means to know, but it means also a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But in the second gana, it means to know. I usually just see it straightforward, but I have seen this. So Vedtu, Vid becomes, is strong, right? Tu in the imperative third person. Vid becomes Ved plus Tu, it will go to be hard. Da will go to Vedtu. And then Vidam Karotu. Karotu is the just a straightforward form of kri in the imperative karotu. Right? Kri takes the becomes kar, karo, it becomes its base. You have to memorize kri. It's an exception. So vidam karotu, and then tu tamantu, vitam, vidam kurutam. Vidantu, vidam kurubantu. That's important to know. I always knew what it meant, but I always wondered, why are they doing that? Because I don't remember ever having studied
it. To make known or to...
To know. Just means, may you know. Or may he... It's imperative.
Oh, may he know.
Yeah, may he know.
Or may those... cause to know? I mean,
no, that would be causal. It's not causal. It's not causal.
Okay. But does it imply it with Chris to make?
I don't think so. I think it's the same exact meaning. Mm-hmm. You can have a causal imperative, may he cause to know, but this is just straight imperative.
Okay. So this translates like
straight imperative.
It's another form.
Exactly. It's another form.
Is kri ever added to any other verb as well?
Yeah, it is. It's added to some nouns, and bu or either bu or kri are added to nouns. If bu is added to a noun, it's becoming that thing. Kri added to a noun is making it into that thing. It's a particular form. Yeah. A little different than this, though. This is added to a verb.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Present third person, vaiti, vittaha, viranti. That's just straightforward. This thing is only for the imperative.
Yeah.
You know, you see the sandhi of a soft consonant coming together with a hard, that's why the da goes to ta. It's strong, so it goes veti, vitta, viranti. 10. When a consonant, the first member of which is is or ik, sakara, kakar, is at the end of a word, or is followed by any consonant except a nasal or a semi-vowel, the su or ka is dropped. You know, this is an important one.
Is there a sutra for that one?
I'm sure there is, and I don't have the sutra, whatever it is. For some reason, on this page, I don't have a sutra marked down.
I don't have it written down.
No, I don't have it. It's probably not that hard to find. So let's look at it. The example they use is chuksh, and of course chuksh is ka plus sh. So it says, when a consonant, the first member of which is sa or ka, is at the end of a word, or is followed by any consonant except the nasal or semi-vowel, the sa or ka is dropped. So here the ka is going to be dropped. Thus in chuksh plus te, the first member of sh is ka, and it is followed by te. The te of which is not a semi-vowel nor a nasal, hence ka is dropped, and we have chush te. Chush plus te, and then that's the lingual sandhi, chush te. Okay? In the case of the second person singular, we have chush plus se. The ka is dropped as above, and we have chush plus se. Then we have the shug goes back to ka by a few pages ago. Chuksh, chuk plus se, and then se becomes she, and then we get chuk she.
Isn't that good?
Remember that one, right? A few pages back?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's on page 57, da or sha followed by sa is changed to ka. Da or?
I'm losing the house that Jack's
built. Then, so chuk she. Then, so now look at the Atmanapada present. Chuk she. That's just a, behe, mahe, so there's nothing there. Chuk plus a, chuk she. Chuk shwahe, chuk shmahe. Then check shay, by which we, what we just went through.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then check shate, check shadwe. There's that particular sandhi where sha changes to da. Remember that? We've got dwe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't go through all that again.
Yeah, next
day. I can't do it. My mind. Okay, too much. Then sheshte, check shate, check shate. That's okay. Let's read this little thing. Chuck, here, they'll do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, yeah, thank goodness. My brain is dead. Okay. Chuck plus dway is chush plus dway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Then,
then everybody's coming now. Then chush plus dway, then chug dway. We'll have to do this on our own. You do this next few lines up by yourself.
It's very hard for me to do by myself.
We can pick it up next time.
It's only two lines.
Yeah.
Give it our best.
And yeah. Then we'll start with 57. Come on in. Om Purnamidah Purnamidah Purnat Purnamidachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Namaha Hari Om.